All across America and around the world, this is Veterans Radio.
This is Veterans Radio.
And now, your host for today's program, Jim Fossone.
And welcome to Veterans Radio. I am Jim Fossone. I'm the officer of the deck today. I had to have a lot of technical help. As you know, Dale doesn't let me go live very often, and there's a good reason for it. Derek, thank you. Luke, thank you. And Dale Thronberry, who is in the car somewhere, was also needed to make this all happen this afternoon. It's a beautiful Sunday here, last one in July, and we're going to talk some benefits and some things going on at VA. Before we get started, though, we always want to thank our sponsors. First up, certainly, is National Veteran Business Development Council, NVBDC.org. NVBDC.org is the nation's leading third-party certifier of veteran-owned businesses. They make sure that when a company says it's veteran-owned and operated, it truly is. And their national status recognized under a recent memorandum of understanding that they've entered into, and actually it's a strategic alliance with the Small Business Association. So NVBDC.org, if you're a business owner with a veteran-owned business and you want to get certified so you can get both corporate and government contracts with that certification. We also want to thank our sponsor, Veteran Lending Council, VLC. Veteran Lending Council can be found on Facebook and other social media outlets. They specialize in training and educating not only loan officers and brokers about the Veterans Home Loan Program, but also veterans themselves. It's a extremely valuable benefit that many of us don't know enough about, and there's a lot of myths. And VLC, Veterans Lending Council, goes about busting those myths, and we direct you to them on Facebook. And also Legal Help for Veterans is one of our national sponsors. They handle veteran disability claims on a nationwide basis, and they can be reached at 800-693-4800. So we have our first guest up today is really, this is a great opportunity for us to explore here in Southeast Michigan the benefits of the Wayne County Veterans Services Department of the county, and its new director is with us. And I want to welcome Randy Walker to the Veterans Radio Network here. Randy, I'm going to have you click on, and welcome to Veterans Radio.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Well, let's start with this. I think it's easy to just look at somebody today and say, wow, he's a big shot director in county affairs, but there's a whole life before that. Randy, why don't you tell us a little bit about how a nice boy like you ended up in the Army?
Air Force. Went in the United States Air Force right out of high school. Basic training down in Lackland, military police school, and then law enforcement specialist school. And they sent me to London, England for 3 years. I was stationed at RAF Chicksands, and I was a law enforcement specialist, patrolled the base. Well, worked the gates until you got a little bit of rank. And then once you got rank, you got off the gates and worked patrol through the housing area and the whole base, actually. But it was a great experience. Used the GI Bill to get my degree in criminal justice. It was just, I love the military. I love the discipline from it. It taught me a lot. And I have a lot of respect for our veterans.
Well, that sounds like Air Force duty that they call. That's a great duty post if you can get it, right?
Right. Absolutely.
And then you have come back and had a whole business career. Why don't you mention that before, again, everybody just still think of you as the director of the Veterans Services, but let's give them a little background.
Well, I did 30 years at Ford Motor Company. I retired October 1st of 2017. I was a skilled tradesman, and then made foreman, general foreman. I retired as superintendent out of research and engineering in Dearborn. And I've been the mayor of Garden City since 2009, which is a part-time position. And I've been the mayor for 13 years and smoked a few cigars with chief of staff Asad Turfee, and Wayne County Executive Warren Evans. And they called me one day and asked me, they said, "You're a veteran, correct?" And I said, "Yes." They said, "Would you be interested in being the director of veteran services for all of Wayne County, 43 communities?" So I said, "Sure." And here I am. I started June 1st, and I've been going at it, you know, head on.
Well, we want to talk about some of the services that are available through the county, but to put this in a bigger context, Wayne County is the biggest county in the state of Michigan. It's has the largest number of veterans in the state, but every county in every state just about has some veteran services office. So you're going to hear from Randy what's available in Wayne County, Michigan. But I don't care if you're sitting in California or Pennsylvania, there's probably a service officer or a county office that can help you with veteran services. And I think that's what you're going to get out of this discussion. So Randy, this is more public service that you're engaged in here with veteran services. It really started with your Air Force career, kept on with your helping public service at home in your local community of Garden City, Michigan. And now kind of you get a bigger easel to paint on, which is county services. So tell us a little bit about the Wayne County veteran resources that are available.
First off, I'm proud to be a service to the veterans who bravely sacrificed for our country, for the freedoms that we enjoy every day. We should never forget that. And what Wayne County Veteran Services does, we help the veterans that have financial hardships. We help them with utilities, mortgage, rent assistant, moving expenses, clothing vouchers, food vouchers, bus passes, property taxes, mortgage assistance, rent, whatever their hardship is. They come in and see one of our counselors, and they have to be honorably discharged. They have to be a Wayne County resident, and they sit down with the counselor. If they meet all the criteria, they bring in their DTE shutoff or their water shutoff, and they help them fill out the application, and then a check is cut and paid directly to DTE or the mortgage company or whoever. But the money never directly goes to the veteran. It goes to whatever their hardship is. And it's a temporary short-term help. It's you know, supposed to be non-reoccurring. It's to help them get on their feet and get them through a rough period that they're having.
And as I said, there's a large veteran population in Wayne County. What number do you track?
Right around 100,000.
And you can provide this assistance to any of those residents in need, I take it.
They're honorably discharged wartime. They have to serve during wartime. We do have one grant right now that's going to expire September 30th to help peacetime veterans. And the reason why it's expiring September 30th, that's the end of our fiscal year. And I don't know if we're going to get that grant going into fiscal year 23, which starts on October 1st. So right now, yes, we can help all veterans, but year round, we can always help if you serve during wartime. World War II, Vietnam, Korea, Desert Storm, that's primarily the ones that we get the most assistance for. We also do burials for veterans and their spouses. They can get up to $1,000 for burial expenses. Again, they come in with the death certificate, funeral bill, and the DD Form 214, proving they were honorably discharged, and the person who paid for the funeral, and that's the person that gets reimbursed.
And that funeral expense, Director, is above and beyond what a veteran may have available to them from the federal government for burial expenses and flags and plaques and that
Correct.
Sort of thing.
Or life insurance and all that. Yeah, it's an addition. So,
well, one of the things we're going to talk about a little later on, and General Carol Ann Fossone, retired, is also on the line. I haven't let her speak yet. This is the longest she's ever gone without talking. So I've still got her on mute. But one of the things we're going to talk about later, you mentioned that you can assist with home construction, ramps, those sorts of things. Talk a little bit about that, because I think that's a barrier, an access barrier for a lot of veterans.
We have referrals on the stuff that we do not do. Like I said, we mainly pay their bills on the hardship. But if they come in and say they need a ramp, we refer them to Habitat for Humanity. We have different numbers, Wayne Metro. We have different groups that we can send them to for help. But that would be, if they needed a ramp, we would send them to Habitat for Humanity.
That's one of the things that's really hard for veterans to navigate, is where to go. So it's part of what you're doing in your office is being that referral source, so that, hey, if you don't know where to go, I think I'm hearing, contact your office and you'll get them in the right direction.
Yeah, our counselors that will meet with them, if it's something that we don't do, they'll point them in the right direction. Now, we're Veteran Services. Now, the VA is totally different. They handle hospitalization, Agent Orange, all that stuff. That's not our department. Like I said, ours is financial hardship. But again, we have the phone numbers to refer them to the right agency to get them the help that they need.
And sometimes that's as simple as getting their DD-214, isn't it?
Yes. Yep.
Yeah, it's absolutely really surprising how many veterans, you've got to have that. That's your, you can't pass go without it, but it's very surprising. And I see in the materials you've provided me, that's one of the resources you refer people out for.
Yeah, I tell you what I did as a director. A lot of times I like to test the waters. So when we're telling veterans, I want to make sure it's the correct information. So I called the 1-800 number and said I needed a copy of my DD Form 214. And I thought, what the heck, I'll have an extra copy. And they said, they sent me a form, they emailed it to me, I had to sign it, scan it, and email it back. And in 2 hours, I had a copy of my DD Form 214. Absolutely free, no charge.
Yeah, that's a very good point, because there are way too many scammers out there who want to charge you for placing that 800 phone call, aren't there?
Yeah, it was absolutely free. And within 2 hours of scanning my signature and filling out the form, had put my Social Security number, the dates I served, what branch of service I was in, my full name, and sign it. I scanned it and sent it up to Lansing. And 2 hours later, they emailed me a copy of my DD Form 214. So I told all the counselors and my staff, I said, the system works.
So always good to know. Probably good to run a test.
Absolutely.
If people are interested in reaching out to your office at Wayne County Veteran Services, how do they do that?
We're at 400 Monroe Street. If you know where Fishbones Restaurant's at, right down in Greektown, we're in the same building up on the fourth floor in Suite 405, or they can call us at 313-224-5045. That's 313-224-5045.
Well, I think it's great that we're able to connect up with the new director there, that we can have a direct call into Wayne County Veteran Services as we needed. And Randy, as an Air Force veteran, I know you're going to make sure you take care of the vets.
Right. And I believe if you ask your wife, she'll tell you the Air Force is the best as well.
Don't start that. I've got Army helicopter pilots listening in, so, and Marines, so watch out.
Hey, you got to get your digs in when you can. You know what I mean?
Now they would say, now you got to go back to the Air Force golf course and hit a few strokes probably. So yeah, right. There's always those digs as well.
Yep.
Randy Walker, we appreciate you spending some time with Veterans Radio this day and talking about the services that are available in Wayne County. But as I say, these types of services and the ability or willingness to point veterans in the right direction with referrals is something that every county department is willing to do, and we would encourage people to maybe start there with their inquiries.
Director, thank you for what you're doing, and you're right. The Air Force is the best, and you know, you being there and helping our veterans as a resource. I mean, they to be able to reach out to and give them a phone number and just a helping hand. I think that sometimes is the most beneficial thing that they're asking for. So thank you.
Thank you. Absolutely. And what I've been doing too, which I didn't mention, I've been visiting different American Legion and VFW halls in the evenings and taking the brochures with me and asking when their meeting night is. And then I go there on their meeting night and I talk for 3 to 5 minutes and tell them about our services and leave a bunch of brochures with them. So I'm trying to get the word out of what we can do to help Wayne County veterans and get them back on their feet if they have a financial hardship. Appreciate you having me on today.
Thanks for all you're doing.
Got to take care of our veterans. Thank you.
You got it. And thank Wayne County for what they're doing. So let's move on. We've got some news to talk about and get some of that information out. We always tell you if you got events and you want us to pass them along, please do. One of the ones we want to talk about, first maybe I ought to talk about the one we went to last weekend. We went to the Washtenaw County Vet Fest. Sponsored by VCAT9. Veterans Radio was there. I think they said they had about 500 people come through. It was a great first event. So it was really nice to meet with that many veterans and talk to them on all sorts of different issues. And the vendors were right across the board. There were certainly VSOs, VFW, VVA, PVA, DAV, I believe was also there. VA was there. Along with, you know, veteran-owned businesses and a whole host of people who want to provide services to veterans. So that was last week, and I'm sure all across the country this summer there are similar vet vets. And if there isn't, you should reach out, and we'll help connect you to the people who put these on and how you might do it in your community. Our own Veteran Radio's own Dr. Eric Fretz was a big mover and shaker and driver of this Washtenaw County Vet Fest held at the community college. And we want to thank him for those efforts. But there's another one, actually Michigan's largest veteran event of the year is coming up on August 13th. It'll be in Fowlerville, Michigan, sort of mid Michigan a little bit. That Vet Fest is put on by Vet Life and Gold Star Mortgage Financial Group. It is from 12 to 4 on August 13th. Up at the Fowlerville, Michigan fairgrounds up there. And you can search for that and find it and register and do all those sorts of things in terms of getting the directions. So we want to point you to Vet Fest on August 13th, put on by Vet Life. Another one of the folks we met at the Washtenaw Vet Fest wanted us to give a plug for something they've got coming up. So we're glad to do it. And it's August 9th. It is a networking program for veterans and their families by Hire Michigan Vet. So this is a group who's been working hard for years on increasing veteran employment. And it's really worked. If you've seen the latest statistics, veteran unemployment is down to about 3 to 4%. So it's come way down. It's really wonderful, all the work that our people are doing and corporations that have made commitments to hire veterans and have followed through on it. And some of them have really exceeded the hiring for veterans and family members. So Hire Michigan Vet is having their program on August 9th from 10 to 11:30 a.m. It is a Zoom networking event where you can connect with other veterans, but also other local employers in a virtual way. So we would encourage you to think about doing that. Ford Motor Company is the big sponsor for this Hire MI Vet program on August 9th. You can find more out about it by going to www.hiremivet.org/connect-veteran. and register there. They'll send you a Zoom link, and you can participate virtually in their networking program. So I think that'd be, if you're still out there looking for a job, or maybe it's time to move on. You've gotten a good one, and you're enjoyed it for a while, but it's time for more responsibilities. Certainly take a look at that, and you can move to those as well. As I say, a lot of people are doing good work in hiring, and we've certainly seen that from a number of companies. Recently saw the number of veterans that Myers, I don't know what they call themselves now, the grocery store, department store, superstore, has been doing throughout the Midwest. So they're a very friendly Michigan and veteran company. So we'd encourage you to take a look at them. So I'd like to bring in, kept her quiet as long as I could, General Carol Ann Fossone, who's always on with us for the benefits program. It is summertime, so we have one of our other regulars, Michael Smith, off on some R&R, and Dale Thronberry is supposed to be doing some R&R, but as I said, he had to jump in and play technical assistant here to get me up and going here. Carol Ann, how are you doing this afternoon?
Great, Jim. Thank you very much. It was great to have Director Randy on. That was a really good way to introduce benefits weekend.
Yeah, it's one of those things that I happened to bump into him and said, geez, you're the brand new guy. Let's get you on and talk. And there's also another new veteran service director up in Livingston County that I just met last week. And so we're working on lining him up too. It's a good way to introduce these directors to the wider audience and for people to begin thinking about, hey, I don't know the guy in my county. Maybe I ought to look him up and look him or her up and see what services are available, or at least have him on as a resource in case I've got to go into another direction.
Yeah, it's interesting because I wanted to chime in when Randy was talking about the ramp. Individuals call in and they're having trouble getting assistance with maybe construction or a ramp. And, you know, one of the best resources that I always have in my toolbox are those paralyzed veterans. Michael Harris over there at PVA even the VA in their construction, if you're a paralyzed veteran, with a disability, to call in there and ask for, talk to your team, your social worker, that's also a great resource. So, you know, along the VSOs and, you know, American Legion, Veterans of Foreign Wars, they are also great resources to assist with some of those needs out there. So it's great what Randy was talking about. I love, you know, reaching out to, I think he talked about Habitat for Humanities, but, you know, just to give people that hope that there's a resource out there.
Well, it's certainly a lot of people who do want to provide assistance. You just have to find the right folks to call, and again, contacting your county office may be able to put you into a nonprofit like Habitat for Humanity, so you won't come out of pocket. But there are a lot of local groups as well, and posts that will help out when they hear of a problem. And if you have a benefits question, call us here at 734-822-1600. One of the articles that came out in the recent weeks was about this same sort of issue, General. The VA was reaching out to veterans and builders in an effort to award more adaptive housing grants, and it's really sort of surprising. They did hand out 2,300 special adaptive housing grants last year. It's bigger number than I would have thought of. But they're telling Congress that they can't find enough people. They can't spend the money allocated for these adaptive housing things which would include things like ramp building. And that kind of shocks me. I know you've had some experience with trying to get through that process for veterans. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Sure. It also, I think we talked about that. I mean, it's a very lengthy process. And not only have I encouraged individuals, but you'll need to go out and get the approval, and then you're assigned to an individual with the special housing grants. And there's only so much money allocated per year through the VA. And now we were so excited last year because they ramped up with money.
Yeah, it's an interesting, I guess, challenge, I'll call it, in that VA did give out, you know, a couple of thousand grants totaling $150 million, but the process took 250 days to complete. That just seems like incredibly long.
Right. And the sad thing is, if the process starts, and I've had a couple families that I've worked with. So if the process starts, and if the veteran dies during the process, if a part of that starts, let's say put in a new floor, or you're purchasing a vehicle, the VA will continue with that piece of the process. They will finish putting in the floor. They will pay for that, but they will not continue with the rest of the construction. Let's say refurbish the whole kitchen, or put in the rest of the bathroom. You know, they'll complete that piece to make it whole, but they won't complete maybe the rest of the house, or the bathroom, or the basement.
And you sort of understand that, because they're doing it for the veteran. The veteran's passed, and therefore right. The project sort of winds up but ends, not fully completed. The grants available under this program can exceed $100,000. So it's not a small program, but it does take a long period of time. I do want to give people, I want to give veterans the Special Adaptive Housing Hotline, should they be interested in knowing more about this. Certainly you can find more about it on the VA website using the terminology Special Adaptive Housing. That hotline number is 877-827-3702. And I'll give that one more time, and then we'll go to the Medal of Honor segment. But that number again is 877-827-3702.
And Jim, I've also done an ebook on this.
And you can find that at legalhelpforveterans.com, and go up to the top bar where the ebooks are, and you'll find Carol Ann's explanation of the Special Adaptive Housing Program. And we'll be back in a minute after you hear a little bit about one of our Medal of Honor heroes and some words from our sponsor.
The Medal of Honor is the highest award for valor in combat given a member of the Armed Forces of the United States. There have been over 3,400 recipients of the nation's highest award. This is one of them. Private Dale Hansen killed 12 Japanese soldiers in a one-man attack on their positions. Details after this.
If you have a VA claim denied by the Board of Veterans Appeals, contact Legal Help for Veterans at 1-800-693-4800. They're experts in handling cases before the U.S. Court of Appeals for Veterans Claims. Their number again, 1-800-693-4800.
Hansen unhesitatingly took the initiative during a critical stage of the action, and armed with a rocket launcher, crawled to an exposed position where he attacked and destroyed a strategically located hostile pillbox. With his weapon subsequently destroyed by enemy fire, he seized a rifle and continued his one-man assault. Reaching the crest of a ridge, he opened fire on 6 Japanese and killed 4 before his rifle jammed. Attacked by the 2 remaining Japanese, he beat them off with the butt of his rifle and then climbed back to cover. Returning with another weapon and supply of grenades, he fearlessly advanced and destroyed a strong mortar position and annihilated 8 more of the enemy.
The Medal of Honor series is a production of Veterans Radio.
Military veterans touch everyone's life. I'm guessing right now you're thinking of a veteran, a close friend, relative. Maybe it's you. Even the toughest of us sometimes need help, but don't know where to turn for support. You don't need special training to help a veteran in your life. We can all help someone going through a difficult time. Learn how you can be there for veterans. Visit veteranscrisisline.net. Veteranscrisisline.net. A message from the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs.
Welcome back to Veterans Radio. I am Jim Fossone. I'm the officer of the deck today. I have with me retired Brigadier General Carol Ann Fossone. We both are actively involved in helping veterans on a lot of different issues. One of the ones I wanted to talk about Carol Ann, I know you've seen this on the disability side, and as we were talking about, what are the things that we don't think veterans necessarily appreciate that's going on with their disability claim? And that deals with what I'll call the outsourcing or farming out of claims to different regional offices. But before you answer, I want to remind people, if they're listening in Southeast Michigan and want to call in with a question, it's 734-822-1600. And let me go back to that question then, General. Tell us how it really works behind the curtain in terms of moving disability claims through the process.
Well, right now, you know, if you're a Michigan veteran, you believe your claim is being handled by Detroit RO, and that's what you think. And, you know, whether it's Legal Hub for Veterans or the VSO, and if it goes up to the board, you know, you're hoping it gets dealt with in a timely manner. But sometimes appeal might be bounced around between the Seattle DROC, the St. Pete DROC. That appeal might be in five or six different locations. You don't know where it's going sometimes. And I don't think the veteran necessarily knows or cares. They just want you to deal with it and get them an answer. And I think that's what's most important to them, that you're communicating with them, you're addressing their issues, you're taking their phone calls, whether it's Legal Help for Veterans, it's a county counselor, it's a VSO, you are answering their call.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think they really care who decides their issue, but I also think that unless you understand that your claim may have been broken up and bounced to two or three different regional offices, you may not understand why issues get lost or forgotten or end up on the bottom of the pile. And, you know, I think there's a great deal of frustration among veterans trying to get their disability claims solved when one issue gets solved and another doesn't. Why didn't they just decide them all at once? But that isn't quite how it works, is it?
No, it's not. And the sad thing is, at one point, many years ago, everything was handled as a whole. But now it's broken up into parts again. And that's really sad that that's the way it's being looked at. And, you know, exams are being done, and most of those are being contracted out. And that's hard for the veteran to understand. And as we tell them, if you go to an exam and it doesn't seem acceptable, or you're going to an exam, you're being asked to go to an exam and you're getting it scheduled and it's hours and hours away, and that doesn't seem reasonable, contact either your VSO or Legal Help for Veterans or the county counselor to make sure that, you know, we could advocate for you. I mean, we do that all the time to make it more reasonable to help you. Just recently, we had an individual who did go to an exam. I want to share this. And, you know, they traveled a distance, and they had an exam. It was 10 minutes, and the veteran didn't think it was an acceptable an exam, and they notified us, and it turned out that their exam wasn't performed appropriately, and then they got a denial. Well, you know, you could notify, and we, as their advocate, could turn that into the RO and say, hey, we don't think appropriate exam was conducted, and they rescheduled the exam for that veteran. But if you don't let us know when things are not going right, that we can't advocate for you.
Well, what you're talking about is making sure that whoever holds your power of attorney, so if it's your county counselor, is your veteran service officer, maybe it's a lawyer somewhere, you have to communicate as the veteran with a disability claim with that party so that they can then advocate for you. I know on this particular one that you're referring to, the exam was, as you say, about 10 minutes. The examiner and all comp and pen exams now by VA are outsourced to third parties. So this is different. This isn't your VA doctor. You go to the hospital and see. This is an outside evaluator of your claims. That person admitted to the veteran, oh yeah, I haven't read your file yet. I don't know what you're in here for. And it was a less than satisfactory, we will say, exam. And those sorts of things, when the veteran documents it and talks to the person holding their power of attorney, there's something you can do. You can at least put in the file that the exam wasn't done properly, anticipating a denial, or even early on, you might be able to before any decision is made, with the right advocacy through your power of attorney, you may be able to get another exam scheduled with a different, outside contractor at that point.
Right. You know, just recently, matter of fact, within the last couple of weeks, we got an opinion that came out, and we were able to contact back to BVA. It said, wait a minute, you remanded a case. You didn't ask for an exam. Our veteran called us and said, why did they schedule an exam for me? This was an opinion, and I'm not supposed to go to an exam, am I? So our attorney said, hey, BVA, was this written up wrong? And it was. And so the veteran didn't have to go for an exam. So I think, you know, the veteran was scheduled and he contacted us and we were able to do something about it. So I think communication is really important between the veteran and the POA. If you get a letter, sometimes we don't get the letter as the POA as quickly as the veteran does. And it could go both ways, especially with the mail these days.
Yeah, it's extremely important to keep that communication going. And I want to take a minute to acknowledge some more of our sponsors. You heard the crisis line play earlier in this program, and we want to thank the VA Ann Arbor Healthcare System for allowing us to play that and being a sponsor of the program, along with the Vietnam Veterans of America Charles S. Kettle Chapter 310, the VFW Post 423, and the American Legion Post 46. All three of those, the VVA, the VFW, and the American Legion are all in Ann Arbor. And if your post wants to get active and help sponsor Veterans Radio, you can go to veteransradio.net and send Dale at veteransradio.net or myself, Jim, at veteransradio.net a note, and we'd be glad to put you in a rotation as part of the family here. So we're talking about VSOs, and those are three very good local VSOs that we want to acknowledge. I want to switch gears on you a little bit, General, because I don't think you've ever talked about this, and I've been trying to get you to do it. So now that I've got control of the microphone, we're going to get to do it. After service, after you got out, you had the opportunity to serve in a congressional office and help a congressman help veterans. And this is a pretty common situation for representatives and senators to have somebody in their office assisting their constituents with federal issues, whether it be Social Security, Veterans Affairs, the IRS, those sorts of things. And you spent a number of years working in a congressional office trying to solve problems with the VA. Can you talk a little bit about what the role of the congressional constituent is in that regards?
Sure. And for me, since I was doing it, to be honest, at Legal Help for Veterans, it was really neat to do because I was interfacing with some of the other offices. It's what I did, you know, 24/7. It is to expedite and make it known to the VA, hey, could you please help our constituents in this district to move this case along? It's been going 2 years. It's been, you know, it's out there whether this disability hasn't been moving. Maybe they haven't been working with a VSO or a Legal Help for Veterans. We were not perceived to be a POA. So there was not a restriction for a district or office. So we could get involved in addition to a POA, which was also very nice. In addition to working with a disability or a Social Security issue or an immigration issue, I worked on the veteran, in the veteran office for this congressman, and it was Dave Trott at the time for many years. We also got to work on nomination packages for the young men and women who wanted to go to the academies, which was really, really an awesome.
Okay, that's a story for another time. Let me bring you back. So is there a different channel? Did the congressional inquiry go into a different channel in the VA? And did you get a different response because of that channel?
Well, there is at the VA, at the regional office in Detroit, same place, at McNamara Building, there is a congressional rep and they would handle all of it for Michigan, for all the districts, a dedicated individual who would go and take all of these cases. And, you know, you'd have the hotline, you'd have the number, and I'm not giving it out. I still remember it. You safeguarded those numbers for that individual. And you would follow through and see if we could make any headway to move those packages. And sometimes you were able to get an award moved through a little quicker for some of those veterans.
Well, that's the point I was trying to get to, is there is a congressional liaison in every VARO that specifically handles when the congressman or the senator makes an inquiry about a constituent's Veterans Affairs problem. It does kind of go through a different chain. Now, it ultimately gets to the same person who's got the file, but I got to think that it gets a little more attention because congressman or representative so-and-so made the inquiry, and oh, by the way, they may have a friend who sits on the budgeting committee for the VA. So that may be a little cynical on my part, but is that true all across the country? Every RO's got some sort of congressional liaison.
Yes, I believe so. And the beautiful thing is, within our district, we were able. Because I think there is a great reward. We were able to work on a couple Purple Hearts, and we were able to award in our district two French Legion of Honors, which is the highest for the French Legion, and we're still waiting to administer a couple of those. So you worked on those special medals, and those would go directly to the Army, the Air Force, or the Navy. Those were different links. Those did not go through the VA, but you developed different relationships. And some of those relationships, some of the Senate office and some of the other offices would call me and ask me how I had developed those relationships because of my past.
And the other thing that I understand is that you have to reach out to your own congressional rep. You can't, the rep in Illinois has got a good reputation or is veteran friendly, or the one in Texas is veteran friendly. I'll go there. It doesn't work that way. If I understand it, is that right?
Correct.
You have to go through your own congressional rep.
Correct. And you know, the interesting thing is several of our veterans who was in our district, they did move. One moved to Texas, one moved to California. And I then developed a relationship with a couple of them in other states and had worked through what I had done in our state to get them awarded in the other states. So, you know,
because they'd have to go to their California, their new, yes, wherever their new domicile, where their new home was, they had to go.
Yes.
So that work would transfer over. So it's not just, hey, I once lived in your district, take care of me. It doesn't work that way. And for a lot of congressional reasons, it doesn't.
No, because their file now has moved also. So that's their new RO.
So I want to talk to two things that are sort of in the news at the moment that have a lot of veterans talking and buzzing about future benefits, not current benefits, but future benefits. And one of them's got a lot of news coverage this week, and that deals with burn pits. There was a lot of expectation that Congress was going to pass and the president was going to sign last week. The week before this new legislation, but it kind of all fell apart at the last minute, and I suspect a lot of veterans and a lot of advocates are going to be pretty disappointed if it doesn't come back around and get passed before these guys and gals all scatter off to recess and electioneering here in August. Can you talk a little bit about the burn pit issue and sort of what this relates to?
Well, I don't understand this thinking, because everybody thought it was a done deal. You know, Congress had it. It went to the Senate. Congress approved it. It went to the Senate. It was approved, I believe, 84 to 14, something like that. They asked for one sentence to be approved. The budget was approved, which is always the big issue with money and cost. And when it came back to the Senate, it was voted down. Now, I understand, I'm not wrong. I believe it's going to be re-voted tomorrow, or they're going to attempt to push it, get another vote sometime this week. And I really hope this goes through, because I am telling you, this would be the biggest disappointment to our veterans. I just don't understand this. Our veterans have served our country. And I just don't understand. This is such a disappointment.
It's just politics, right? Unfortunately, and they're playing politics with the lives of veterans. For those of you who don't know, burn pits were the big open dumps in Iraq and Afghanistan, where all the trash created by our armed forces fighting the 20-year war got burned. You got to do something with all the garbage. But this wasn't just paper and wood, but it included electronics and computers and human parts and explosives, big, huge burn pits that could be seen from space, actually. This is what they call incomplete combustion. You know, a burn pit is a really inefficient way to burn garbage. And as a result, there's a lot of particulate matter. This act, the PACT Act, which everybody thought was going to pass, is to advocates for easier access to health care for veterans exposed to the toxic fumes coming out of these big open air burn pits, which were really no more than holes in the ground with the stuff pushed around by bulldozers. You may have caught a glimpse of this on the news somewhere along the line, because comedian Jon Stewart got very active in and has really brought a voice to those with respiratory problems and cancers that may be associated with burn pits. And this grew out of the work that he did for the first responders in New York City at 9/11, who had many health problems because essentially they were working on what was a big burn pit. Those towers came down in a fiery ball and really burned everything inside the building, and again, including plastics and metals and computers and all kinds of toxics and human body parts. So Jon Stewart's been a real advocate of this, bringing enough, I think, pressure that Congress probably has to fix whatever the problem was that Senator Pat Toomey of Pennsylvania rallied people to defeat this on, because he was concerned that there was $400 billion in discretionary spending that could end up somewhere other than with veterans. So I think that's what he was trying to get fixed. Hopefully that push will go on this week. And as I say, they'll wrap it up before they get the heck out of town, yes. which is coming up real soon. I wanted, though, to talk about another sort of related issue, cutting edge veteran disability issue that needs some benefits. And that's what's known as PFAS exposure. PFAS is a man-made chemical. I'm not even going to try to pronounce all the chemicals in that line of PFAS and PFOA, but it essentially is a non-stick chemical you add to things. It has a unique property of being fire retardant, so it was widely used in firefighting foam, and there are hundreds, I think it's 700 bases that are known to have PFAS contamination in the groundwater. And you just think about how many veterans and their family members went through and got exposed to that. It has all kinds of different potential harms that can happen. But VA doesn't grant any benefits for this. And more, just this week, the National Academy of Science and Medicine, I believe it was, came out and said, human beings should now be tested, which means VA should be testing veterans, for PFAS contamination. And the kind of connecting point I want to make between PFAS and the PACT Act is the PACT Act on burn pits seemed to have got momentum because it has a celebrity promoting it. I'm not sure it'd be as far along if somebody like Jon Stewart wasn't raising a ruckus and being able to get airtime and being able to get news reports. I just wonder who's going to come along, and I hope somebody does, to step up and say, we've got to figure this PFAS contamination out. What's it doing to veterans in the areas of liver problems and cancers because they were exposed to it for years and years and years, and nobody gave it much thought. So that's my soapbox, hoping that some celebrity picks up PFAS as something that that has to be dealt with and dealt with properly, because it's linked to birth defects, cardiovascular issues, compromised immune systems, a variety of cancers. It's, if you haven't heard it as PFAS, maybe you've heard it as forever chemicals. And I suspect, General, you see this as a issue that needs attention and future disabilities recognized for veterans who have such exposures.
Well, absolutely. And Jim, you know what? This is a sad, sad commentary that it needs a celebrity. And you're looking on the TV that now we have to have litigation, because now the water exposure at Camp Lejeune, and now you're going into major litigation. Come on, let's get real. This is because great men and women serve this country. They didn't ask questions. They raised their hand. They went out and served. Let's do the right thing and take care of them. Let's serve them, take care of them and their families. And yes, there are going to be next generations, just like Agent Orange, that there's going to be birth defects and other things coming out because of this. Burn pits, the water, the PFAS. We don't need great, you know, money and generations and years spent on this. It's going to happen.
Well, that's the money is the problem. I think that's the congressional yes. problem. I think everybody recognizes the toxic exposures, but Congress has to grapple with what it costs. And we as Americans have to recognize that these are all part of the costs of war. If yes. you're going to go spend 20 years in Afghanistan fighting a war and then pull yes. out real quickly, you've got to deal with all the legacy of that, which includes things like toxic exposure to burn pits or
yes.
Exposure to PFAS or whatever the next chemical is that may be causing problems and the need for benefits for those exposed while serving the country. You mentioned litigation and everybody's probably seeing a lot of these ads. 3M just set up a $1 billion trust to settle suits over earplugs. So unfortunately, it's money, money, money. And veterans kind of get left hanging because
yes.
Everybody looks at what it's really going to cost versus, hey, what problems did we solve? What problems did we cause? And how do we solve it?
Right.
Well, Caroline, I appreciate you being on Veterans Radio Benefits and talking. We talked a wide variety of subjects because I've been collecting them in my pile. As always, we want you to go to veteransradio.net. Follow us along and reach out to Dale or I. And until next time, you are dismissed.